Eyes, Trey interrupted. Give her a moment to breathe. She looked so relieved to see him that he thought she might burst into tears. He strengthened his resolve. Champion, not crutch. I've got some stuff to do. I'll see you tonight, okay? Her look of desperation turned his resolve into a wet noodle. You're leaving? You'll do great, Reagan. I have faith in you. He gave her arm a rough bro tap with his knuckles and turned to go. Maybe he should have kissed her goodbye instead. Chapter 29. In her dressing room on opening night, Reagan concentrated on walking in her new high-heeled ankle boots without breaking her neck. She'd promised Sam that she'd try this his way before reverting back to her combat boots, but Sinner's set wasn't even over yet, and her toes were already complaining. Maybe if she could stop pacing.
Are you nervous?
Ethan asked, watching her walk past him for the 50th time.
You have no idea,
she said. And if he hadn't been there, she'd probably be climbing the walls with her newly polished fingernails. At least they'd listened to her when she'd insisted she couldn't play properly with the 3-inch monstrosities they'd tried to affix to her fingertips.
You look fantastic tonight. I can't keep my eyes off you.
It only took 2 hours to get me to look like this.
Is that non-smudging lipstick?
Yeah, she said, pressing her lips together. Why is it smudged?
Ethan wrapped an arm around her waist and tugged her against him.
Because I think you could use a distraction?
She could use 1,000 distractions, but as far as distractions went, the deep, plundering kiss Ethan gave her would do just fine. Ethan's hand slid down the stiff leather of her corset and over the back of her short, tulle skirt.
Ethan,
she whispered against his lips.
I'll hurry,
he promised. He fumbled under her skirt and tugged her bike shorts and panties down.
Ethan?
His kiss deepened. His fingers sought her clit. She thought she should probably protest. She had to be on stage in less than half an hour. But she surrendered instead. He continued to kiss her and touch her until she sagged against the wall behind her. Her fingers tangled in his hair and she tugged her mouth from his.
I need you, Ethan. Put it in.
She slid her hands under his tight t-shirt and sucked on his neck while he found protection in his wallet, unfastened his pants, and applied the condom. He met her eyes. The intense, feral hunger in his gaze turned her knees to jelly. He grabbed her roughly and forced her to face the wall.
Don't move,
he said. The deep timbre of his commanding voice alit her nerve endings with excitement. She held still while he sought her opening with his stiff cock. He filled her slowly. She whimpered, wanting it hard and fast. Buried deep, he arranged her body to ease his possession, nudged her thighs apart, encouraged her to bend her back more. Her entire body quivered with anticipation. It had been a while since Ethan had fucked her like this. She didn't realize how much she needed it. Thankfully, he did. He grabbed her wrists and drew both arms above her head, holding her firmly. His hips began to move. He plunged into her hard and deep, possessing her with a certain fury that drove every thought from her mind. She surrendered to him completely, trusting him to fulfill her by taking her power and using her body. He pounded into her harder and faster, answering her moans of excitement with deep growls. He maintained the same rigorous motion until her pussy ached from lack of fulfillment, and even though his possession felt fantastic, she couldn't take any more.
Now, Ethan, make me come.
He released her wrist and moved his hand around her body to find her swollen, throbbing clit. 2 strokes of his fingertips against the overexcited nub of flesh sent her flying over the edge. Her core convulsed with blinding pleasure and she bucked her hips against him involuntarily.
Behind her, Ethan grunted. He plunged deep and tightened his arm around her waist to hold her as he spent himself within her. His body leaned heavily against her back as he regained his bearings. His breath came in hot and heavy bursts against her shoulder. There was a knock on the door.
10 minutes,
someone called on the other side. Ethan pulled out slowly and then released the wrist he was still holding.
You okay?
He asked.
I needed that,
she said and turned to face him. Ethan chuckled.
Trey would punch me in the balls if he saw me treat you like that.
He likes to be treated like that, too.
At least I know I'm good for something.
Ethan removed the condom and worked at rearranging his clothes. Reagan didn't have time to assuage his fears. She had to be on stage, and she was quite certain her 2 hours in hair and makeup had been destroyed by 10 minutes of hard fucking with her face smashed against the wall.
We'll talk later, she promised Ethan, and hurried into the bathroom to clean up, return her clothes to their proper locations, and fix her lipstick. At least her hair hadn't moved. Not that it could with the amount of product they'd gooped on it.
Reagan hurried out of the dressing room with Ethan on her heels. Backstage, someone handed her a guitar, and she tossed the strap over her shoulder. The new stage setup allowed for no transition time between their set and Sinner's, so when the last note of Sinner's encore went silent and the crowd roared its approval, Reagan felt her stomach drop into her boots.
"Knock 'em dead, baby,"
Ethan said, and wrapped an arm around her shoulders to give her an encouraging squeeze.
"I'm so proud of you."
When she passed Trey, who was just coming off stage, she couldn't meet his eyes for some reason. She didn't have time to puzzle out her sudden feeling of guilt. Trey caught her arm and tugged her against his body and out of the flow of traffic from the stage.
"You'll do great."
"Promise you won't watch? I'm nervous enough."
"You don't want me to watch?"
She shook her head. Accompanied by a mechanical whirr, Eric's drum kit was moved off stage in one piece on a platform so Steve's could rise from the floor at the initiation of the first song. The sound of the stage realigning kicked Reagan's heart rate up another notch. This was really happening. Trey brushed his fingers over her jaw.
"If that's what you want."
"Thanks for understanding," she whispered. "I love you."
"I love you too. Now break a leg."
He hesitated.
"Not literally."
"No guarantees in these damned boots."
"Reagan, take your place,"
Exodus End soundboard engineer Mad Dog said in her ear. She pecked Trey on the cheek and entered the little door beneath the stage. It was dark under the stage, but someone in the stage crew was standing next to her platform with a flashlight. She was careful not to hit the strings of her guitar as she carefully stepped onto the flat piece of metal. She could just make out the forms of Dare at the opposite end of the stage, and Logan, who was between them. But farther back, she heard a mechanical whir, and then the hard, heavy thump of a bass drum as Steve and his entire drum kit were lifted up from behind the stage. The crowd was going insane. This was an entirely new and innovative stage design. If it worked properly, it was sure to wow everyone. If not, well, Reagan would be trapped under a dark stage for the rest of her short life. Logan entered with the deep, repetitive bass line of the first song, Ovation. His platform started to rise first, lifting him out of the floor of the stage into the spotlight. Reagan played the rhythm riff on cue and almost took a tumble when the platform beneath her lurched into motion before rising at a snail's pace. When a bright blue light hit her in the face, she forced herself not to wince.
"I'm a rock star. Be Maximilian Richardson. You can do this. Don't mess it up," she thought.
Dare entered the song, and his platform didn't lift slowly like Logan's and Reagan's. It propelled him upward at a faster velocity, and he used the momentum to jump out of the floor onto the main stage,
wailing out his intro in true rock star fashion. The crowd went insane. Dare Mills was a star. Reagan was an imposter. She did her part, though, playing the rhythm guitar section so close to Max's style that his own mother probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference, assuming her mother listened to metal. There was a sudden explosion of fire and smoke. Part of the show, but it still made Reagan start. And Max appeared center stage, singing the first long note of the song like a metal angel who had descended from the heavens. The entire crowd was one huge mosh pit. No one seemed to care that Reagan was playing guitar instead of Max. They were all too enthralled with music to pay her any mind. She watched Dare work the crowd, Logan work the crowd, Max make the people in the crowd ricochet off each other like bowling pins. Even Steve stood up behind the drum kit at one point and tossed a cracked drumstick into the audience. Reagan stuck to the song. When it ended, Max spoke to the crowd.
"How are we feeling tonight, Los Angeles?"
The crowd roared its enthusiasm. Steve played a drum line to get them to settle down.
"Did Sinners rock your world?"
Max said slash screamed slash sang. The crowd cheered again. Sinners rocked Reagan's world, too, especially the naughty one. She peeked over to the side of the stage, hoping that Trey had gone against her wishes and was standing in her corner. She didn't see him.
"Carpal fucking tunnel is a very serious malady for a guitarist," Max said, sounding incredibly grave.
"Who's a pussy?"
Logan said in a deep announcer's voice.
"Max is a pussy."
Max used his good hand to give Logan the finger.
"You might have noticed we have a new band member up on stage with us tonight. Reagan, come up here and say hi."
Heart racing, Reagan forced her feet to move forward, concentrating hard on not tripping over anything in her spiked-heeled ankle boots. "Hi," she said into the microphone on her end of the stage. She saw her own face on the giant screens all over the stadium, and she froze.
"She's covering rhythm guitar for us," Max said. "Doing an excellent job."
Reagan felt her cheeks flame. She nodded and then took a step away from the mic.
"I love you, Reagan!"
Some guy screamed in the audience and pulled up his shirt to flash his thin chest at her.
"That only works when chicks flash their tits at stagehands,"
Dare said to the guy, pointing at him with his guitar pick.
"No backstage pass for you."
"Bite!"
Reagan heard Mad Dog announce the next song in her ear.
"One, two, three."
The band followed his cue to start the abrupt beginning of the song. Logan apparently thought Reagan needed to get closer to the front of the stage. He leaned his back against hers and hopped backward, pushing her forward several steps. He repeated the motion and she almost missed a note.
"Stop it!"
she growled at him.
"Relax, Reagan,"
he said.
"Have some fun."
When she scowled at him, he shrugged and went to play his bass on the opposite end of the stage. By the end of the third song, Reagan was really feeling the pressure, and her feet were freaking killing her. She glanced over at the side of the stage and caught sight of Trey standing in the shadows. Feeling stronger and somehow relieved, she took a deep breath and trotted up to the front of the stage. The guys in the front row of the audience all surged against the barrier fence as if they wanted to grab her. She glanced at Dare, who grinned at her. She lifted the neck of her guitar and gyrated against her instrument slightly. Nothing too extreme, just a little sexy. One guy launched himself clean over the barrier fence and was promptly escorted to the end of the barrier and forced back into the crowd. Reagan went down on one knee to play the next stanza, and her little cluster of fanboys cheered her on. This was kind of fun. She had to be careful not to lose Max's sound, though. She couldn't get too carried away. The song ended, and Max made a low growling sound in his microphone.
I see Reagan has broken out of her shell for you. Do you like it?
The crowd cheered, and Reagan found herself displayed on all the screens in the stadium again. Reagan walked over to the nearest microphone and asked, "Would anyone be horribly offended if I took off these fucking boots? They're killing my feet." The crowd started chanting, "Take it off! Take it off!" She popped her feet out of both boots, tossed them to a stage runner, and stood barefoot on the stage, wriggling her toes in delight. "Now I can get my rock on." She played a random string of notes that sent the crowd into a frenzy. Okay, so this was a lot of fun. She dug her fingers into her hair, messing it all up and feeling damned good about it. She threw up her devil horns on both fists, shaking her extended pinkies and index fingers at the crowd. "I'm ready to get dirty," Reagan said. Dare chuckled into his microphone.
"Oh, hell yeah,"
he said in a sexy growl.
"I'll get dirty with you, Reagan,"
Logan said.
"Let's all get dirty,"
Max yelled, and the band segued into their gritty ballad, Stained. Reagan made an effort to get involved in the rest of the show. Not too involved. She didn't want to overstep her bounds and upstage anyone else in the band. She felt she did an excellent job mimicking Max's guitar work, and was rather proud of that, even though she felt a little disconnected from the music the entire time. When the final lights went down and she stepped off the stage, she looked for Trey, but he'd vanished. He probably didn't want her to know that he'd been watching when she'd specifically told him not to. Ethan was there, though, and gave her an encouraging pat on the back.
"You were awesome."
"Thanks," she said.
"Good show,"
multiple people said to her as she was ushered through the crowd back to her dressing room. She was expected at the after party, which was being held at the hotel across the parking lot. She wanted to find some shoes that didn't cripple her toes before she headed over.
"Nice work,"
Dare said to her just outside her dressing room door.
"We'll rehearse again before tomorrow night's show in San Francisco. See if we can't figure out what's causing your disconnect."
So he'd noticed that, huh? She bit her lip and nodded.
"I'll see you at the after party,"
he said, and left her standing there feeling unsure of herself.
"What disconnect?"
Ethan asked her. "I'm not really feeling the music."
"I couldn't tell. You were fabulous up there. Everyone loved you."
She smiled. "I thought it went well, after I got rid of those fucking boots." She entered her dressing room and reached for a bottle of water. She chugged half of it before she noticed the bouquet of flowers sitting on her dressing table. How thoughtful. Who had sent her flowers? Trey? Obviously not Ethan, because he looked as surprised to see them as Reagan did. Maybe one of her friends, someone from the record company. Or dare she hope they were from her daddy? She practically skipped across the room and pulled the card from the bright assortment of Gerbera daisies. Her name was printed neatly on the outer envelope. She tugged the card free and read it. Her smile faded. "You took what was mine, bitch. Don't think you'll keep it for much longer." Ethan snatched the card out of her hand.
"Fucking son of a bitch," he growled.
He lifted the vase and looked at the bottom, examined the card more closely, and then the envelope, looking for clues, a habit left over from his past police work.
"You go to the party and have fun. Just don't allow yourself to be caught alone,"
Ethan said, giving her an encouraging squeeze and rubbing her arm briskly.
"I'll find out who sent this to you and fuck him up."
Chapter 30. The ballroom of the hotel was packed wall to wall with people. Reagan searched the crowd until she caught sight of Trey, surrounded by his usual posse of admirers. She hurried to his side, ignoring curious stares and the few people who called out to her as she passed. She needed to decompress, and she wanted to spend some time alone with Trey, to thank him for being there when she hadn't known she'd needed him to be, and to pretend she wasn't afraid of whoever kept sending her threatening messages. She caught the tail end of Trey's conversation when she stopped beside him.
He never did find his pants.
No fewer than 10 people laughed at whatever Trey happened to be talking about. She touched his arm and he glanced at her. A huge smile spread across his face.
Hey, Reagan, I was wondering when you'd make it. Somebody get the newest member of Exodus and a beer.
3 beers were thrust in her direction. No thanks, she said.
Would you like something else? Open bar tonight.
He lifted his beer and his enamored audience cheered. She shook her head and leaned close to whisper in his ear. I want to go up to my room for a little while. Will you come with me?
Are rhinos always horny?
She hesitated, her brain even more exhausted than her body was. Yes? He chuckled.
Right answer.
He took a swig of his half-finished beer, handed the remainder to the nearest person, and took Reagan's hand.
Have a great night, he said to his entourage.
Are you leaving? Asked a gorgeous redhead in a figure-hugging purple evening dress. Reagan's hand tightened on his. While she never got jealous of Ethan, Reagan couldn't claim she was unaffected when sophisticated, beautiful women tried to get their claws in Trey. Yes, he's leaving with me, Reagan said hotly.
Easy, Tiger,
Trey whispered in her ear.
She writes freelance for a couple of major music magazines.
That didn't mean the woman didn't want in Trey's pants. Then she can write about the serious relationship between Trey Mills and Reagan Elliott. Reagan hurried through the crowd, tugging Trey behind her. She was so focused on getting to the door that she didn't realize Dare was in pursuit until Trey came to a sudden halt behind her.
Geez, where's the fire?
Dare said, his hand fisted in the back of Trey's t-shirt.
I have some people I want to introduce you to,
he said to Reagan.
She needs to crash,
Trey said. Both brothers offered her a look of concern.
Of course,
Dare said.
I'll cover for her.
Thanks, Dare. She gave him a hug. I might come back down later. I just need a few moments of peace. And to get away from the flowers in her dressing room. And that note.
Good luck with that,
Dare said. She wasn't sure what he meant by that, but she grabbed Trey by the wrist and tugged him out in the corridor. A bunch of camera flashes went off and reporters yelled questions, but Reagan couldn't make any sense out of the chaos. A pair of Exodus End security guards escorted Reagan and Trey to the elevators. Is it always this crazy? She asked Trey.
Exodus End only throws a party this big on their opening tour date. It'll settle down. A little.
Trey wrapped an arm around her shoulder and gave her a squeeze.
Overwhelmed?
You have no idea. The security guard stepped onto the elevator with them and pressed the button to the 8th floor. Are you going to follow us all the way to our room? Reagan asked one of the guards.
The band has rented out the entire 8th floor. There's already security on that floor. We're just here to make sure no one tries to get on the elevator with you.
Reagan stared at the carpet inside the elevator as the car lifted to their floor without incident. Trey rubbed her back but didn't say anything. He seemed to realize she craved quiet and calm. She knew she had signed up for this, and she didn't regret it. But it was going to take some getting used to. She'd never imagined she'd need security to ride a freaking hotel elevator. And she'd never thought she'd crave their protection. When they exited the elevator, they found several additional security guards. They didn't escort her to her room, but they watched her closely until she and Trey were safely inside. The instant Trey had Reagan alone in the hotel room, he tumbled her onto the king-sized bed.
Everyone said you were phenomenal tonight. How did it feel to be up on stage in front of all those fans?
I was nervous until I saw you standing in the shadows at the side of the stage.
You saw me?
She nodded.
Shit, sorry. I know you said you didn't want me there, but I couldn't resist. Do you know how sexy you are when you play?
He rolled on top of her and captured her hands in his. It's the corset, isn't it? It makes me look like I actually have boobs. Her tits did look fantastic in her corset, but that wasn't what had drawn him to watch, even though she'd forbidden it. It's that face you make when you let the music take you. It's even hotter than the face you make when you come.
I don't make a face.
He grinned.
Yeah, you do. I hope I didn't make you self-conscious about it. It would ruin my life if you stopped making it.
She laughed. I highly doubt that. She scowled. I'm not sure the fans like me taking over for Max.
They loved you. Trust me. They were a little upset by the change at first, but you won them over. Once you kicked off your shoes and got a little dirty for them.
It's easier to be yourself when you're not pretending to be something you're not.
Where's Ethan? Trey asked.
He had some errands to run.
She changed the subject.
I'm just glad we could sneak away from the after party. I'm too tired to pretend I'm social.
Are you too tired to make love? Because I haven't been able to think of anything but you all night.
Me and the past lovers who have been following you around all day.
I told them to get lost. I really am committed to you. I'm sorry I spread so much love around before I met you.
He was sorry now. At the time, he thought it was fan-fucking-tastic, heavy on the fan-fucking. He now knew quality was better than quantity. Two lovers were plenty for him. Reagan lifted her head to kiss him. I shouldn't bitch at you about it. You're so generous with your love. With everyone.
I think most women would be put off by that.
You just have so much to give. Enough for me and Ethan.
She gave him a hard stare.
That doesn't mean you can go spreading it all over fandom.
No worries there. I have everything I want right here.
Trey hesitated.
Where's Ethan?
He asked again.
I think he's helping direct traffic or breaking up fights.
That means I get you all to myself.
He stroked her hair from her face and kissed her lips gently. She closed her eyes tightly and didn't kiss him back. Perplexed, he stared down at her. Maybe she really was just tired. It couldn't possibly be that she'd lost interest.
Trey, she whispered.
Yeah?
I need to tell you something.
I'm listening.
I think you're going to be mad at me.
I don't get mad.
I had sex with Ethan backstage tonight, she blurted. He just sort of grabbed me and we started kissing. We got carried away and ended up having a quickie up against the wall.
She opened her eyes cautiously. Trey grinned.
Was it exciting?
We shouldn't have done it without you there.
Trey stared down into her eyes. He could tell that guilt was eating her alive.
Why not?
Because.
I don't have to be there every time you have sex with Ethan, just like he doesn't have to be there every time I have sex with you.
Have you two had sex without me knowing about it?
She asked. He thought back to all of his encounters with Ethan, even that first time Reagan had known.
Well, no, but...
Why not?
Because we like to include you. You feel like you cheated on me, don't you?
She rubbed her forehead. This relationship is just so complicated. I get mixed up sometimes. I don't feel like I'm cheating when you're there, but when we went at it behind your back and didn't tell you, it felt wrong.
So just come right out and tell me when you two go at it.
You won't be jealous?
Will you be jealous when I have sex with Ethan?
I'm not sure.
Do you want to know about it when it happens?
Yes, don't hide it from me. No secrets.
He kissed her gently.
There. You found your own solution. You just needed to talk it out.
She wrapped her arms around his neck and snuggled her face against his chest.
I love you so much.
I love you too.
I like you like this, Trey. I'm so glad we brought Ethan into our relationship. I was worried at first that I'd feel neglected or you'd love me less, but now I find that when you're happy, you love me even more. I could tell there was something wrong between us when we were touring with Sinners. You were trying too hard to want only me, and now you're just you.
How do you feel about Ethan?
Trey asked. She stiffened. What do you mean?
Do you love him?
He's my best friend.
Well, you are, too. You're both my best friends. We're also your lovers.
If I tell you I love him, will you break up with me?
Trey chuckled softly. Sweetheart, you're the one who is trying too hard. You can love him. It's not like you can help it, and he's a wonderful man. He treats you well. He'd do anything for you. You've been through a lot together.
Do you love him? Reagan asked.
I like him.
That's not the same thing.
I'm well aware of that.
Do you think you could love a man?
Trey needed to tell her his deepest remaining secret. He trusted her with it. He wasn't sure if she'd accept it or understand, but if he expected her to be open and honest about everything, then he had to treat her with the same respect.
I do love a man.
Do or did?
Do. I'll never stop loving him, but he's out of reach.
What's his name?
His stomach clenched with apprehension. For a moment, he considered making up some random name.
Brian.
Brian?
Reagan's eyes widened.
You don't mean Brian Sinclair?
Yeah.
Reagan stared up at him in stunned disbelief, and then burst out laughing.
Good one, Trey. You had me going there for a minute.
He spilled his guts to her and she thought he was joking?
Nice.
He rolled off of her and lay beside her on the bed on his back. He pressed against his eyelids with a thumb and middle finger to force all of the hurt and hopelessness back down where it belonged.
Reagan straddled his hips and pulled his hand from his face. You're serious?
He swallowed, knowing better than to speak. Not that he could have around the huge knot in his throat.
He's married, Trey.
Trey rolled his eyes and grasped at sarcasm. It made it easier to continue.
I know. I was at the wedding.
Does he know how you feel about him?
No.
You never told him?
Trey shook his head.
How long have you felt this way about him?
Forever. Trey had always felt like they'd known each other before they'd been born, at least spiritually.
For over 10 years.
You have to tell him, Trey.
What, like he's gonna give up Myrna for me?
She stroked his hair from his forehead.
Is that what you want?
He bit his lip and shook his head.
No, I want him to be happy. I want to get over him.
And to do that, you have to tell him. Talk to him about it. See how he reacts.
I don't want it to ruin our friendship.
Reagan drew her thumb under his eye and collected a tear he didn't realize was there. He wasn't sure how she would respond to her devil-may-care boyfriend getting all emotional and stupid over her favorite guitar hero.
Brian isn't like that, Trey, you know that.
He doesn't have time for me anymore anyway. What does it matter?
He rolled onto his side and unseated her so she tumbled onto the bed beside him. She rose to sit next to him Indian style on the bed.
Thanks for the invite.
Invite?
To your pity party.
Trey grimaced. He did this every once in a while. Fell into despair. The problem was, instead of dealing with things, he had the tendency to bury his problems and pretend they didn't affect him.
Are you going to talk to Brian about your feelings?
I don't know. I'll think about it.
Well, I'm in the party mood now. Let's go have some fun.
I thought you were tired.
I've just caught my second wind.
She climbed to her feet and found the combat boots she'd been forbidden to wear on stage. They didn't complement her outfit, but they were totally Reagan and brought a smile to Trey's face and his heart.
Come on, Mopey,
she said, tugging on his hand until he relented and climbed out of bed.
Let's go party like rock stars.
Chapter 31 Reagan held Trey's hand as they entered the hotel's reception hall,
She didn't really want to party like a rock star, but Trey was a social creature, and he looked like he needed some adulation and excitement. Also, she felt bad for laughing about his love for Brian. It was obviously something that weighed heavily on him. She wasn't sure how to handle that part of Trey. He always seemed to know how to get exactly what he wanted out of life. It must be hard for him to be so close to Brian, yet so far away. She spotted Dare near the entrance, looking bored, though he was surrounded by enthusiastic admirers. He had this way of answering people in a minimum number of words, yet making them feel like he was imparting the secrets of the universe. Reagan knew Trey depended on his brother for support more than any other person on the planet, unfortunately, herself included, so she headed in Dare's direction, hoping that he could bring Trey comfort, or tell her how to comfort him. Dare smiled when he noticed them heading in his direction.
"Excuse me."
Two words and his crowd dispersed as if Dare had erected an impenetrable bubble around himself.
"Back so soon?"
He took a sip of his beverage and looked from Reagan to Trey and back to Reagan.
"She wanted to party like a rock star," Trey said.
He waved at someone across the room who was waving both arms wildly over her head to get his attention.
"Then you should go get her a drink,"
Dare said to Trey.
"What do you want?"
Trey asked her. "Something stiff."
"I would have given you something stiff upstairs, but you wanted to come back down to the party."
"If you would have gone down while we were upstairs, I would have come," she countered. Trey laughed and kissed her on the cheek before hurrying toward the bar. A wave of people followed in his wake. Unlike his brother, he didn't have the skill set to keep them at bay. Or maybe he didn't want to. He seemed to relish the attention of the horde surrounding him.
"Something wrong?"
Dare asked. Someone approached them and he lifted one finger from his glass. The man paused in mid-stride and turned in the opposite direction. "Trey's a little down. I figured he could use a party."
"So you're here for his sake?"
"Completely. I don't mingle well." Dare chuckled.
"Me neither. Everyone thinks I'm mysterious and deep. I'm just antisocial."
Reagan grinned up at him. "You're just saying that to make me feel better." Dare shrugged.
"Why is Trey down?"
His gaze shifted toward the bar and Reagan followed his line of sight to see Trey talking and laughing with some A-list actor as if they were old friends. Reagan wondered if Dare knew about Brian. It seemed like he knew everything about Trey, but maybe it was something that Trey hadn't confided to him. She didn't want to toss any bones out of Trey's closet of skeletons without his permission.
"Let me guess,"
Dare said, lifting his finger at another approaching person to head them off before they got too close.
"Brian."
"You know how he feels about Brian?"
"I'm surprised he told you. He thinks it's this huge secret, but anyone with eyes knows how he feels about the guy."
"I didn't know. I always thought there was something different about their relationship, but had no idea Trey's feelings were so strong."
"He must be getting better at hiding it, then."
They watched Trey get a bro-slap hug from a professional football player before the guy started acting out passes and touchdowns at Trey's enthusiastic insistence. Trey still hadn't made it to the bar. "I told him that he should talk to Brian about it," Reagan said. "He didn't seem to think that was a good idea."
"He's made a lot of progress since he met you, Reagan. He's been struggling with this for a long time. Before, all he could think about was ways to get Brian to fall for him. Now he's trying to figure out how to let him go. Be patient with him."
"How do you think Brian would react if he knew?"
"I'm sure Brian already knows. He's just too nice to tell my brother to get his head out of his ass."
Dare finished his drink and set his empty glass on a nearby table that held a guitar-shaped ice sculpture.
"Brian's not stupid, just sort of non-confrontational. Especially when it comes to those he loves."
"He loves Trey, too?"
"Not romantically. Did Trey tell you how they hooked up?"
Reagan's eyes widened. They hooked up?
I guess he didn't tell you. If you want to know, ask him about it.
Dare laughed.
Look, he made it to the bar.
Reagan turned her attention back to Trey, who was having beers stuffed into the waistband of his jeans by several women, and men. Squirming, he tried to avoid having additional beverages shoved in his pants while he placed his order with the bartender. She could tell he was having a great time already.
What an attention whore,
Dare said. He grinned at his brother's antics while shaking his head in disgrace. You're not fooling me, Dare Mills. Your kid brother means more to you than any other person on the planet.
Can't deny it. If it weren't for him, I would have died before my 6th birthday.
Reagan's head whipped up to look at him. What do you mean?
I had acute myeloid leukemia and needed a bone marrow transplant. Trey was a match, so he was my donor.
He never told me about that.
He knows about it, but doesn't remember it. He was only 2, but he is still terrified of hospitals, so it had to have some lasting effect on him. Have you seen the size of the needles they use to remove bone marrow? I have.
He shuddered. Reagan wrapped both arms around Dare and gave him a hard squeeze. He patted her back and asked,
What was that for?
For living. He chuckled.
You should hug Trey, not me. He's the hero.
Oh, trust me, Trey is going to get a lot of hugs. Do leg hugs count?
I'm sure he'd think so.
She gazed across the room to the bar where Trey was trapped between some guy who had a 3-foot-tall lime-green mohawk and a Hollywood socialite with a yapping chihuahua in her purse. Both hands full with stiff drinks, Trey smiled, nodded, and chatted as he inched his way back in their direction. If he ever escapes his fan club.
Is this the line for Reagan hugs?
A deep voice said from behind her. She turned and grabbed Steve in a bear hug. He returned her hug enthusiastically. She couldn't help but notice how great those strong drummer arms felt wrapped around her body. Even though the concert had ended 2 hours before, he still wasn't wearing a shirt with his low-cut leather pants.
Are you two having a guitarist meeting over here?
Steve asked.
I noticed Dare has erected his invisible barrier of cool to ward off the ass-kissers. I hope you don't mind me crashing your private party.
We're just talking, Reagan said.
About the show?
Steve asked, giving Reagan one last squeeze before releasing her.
I figured we'd fuck up a lot more than we did. The first show of a new tour is usually the worst. It went well, don't you think?
She nodded. Even though I was scared to death. Steve rubbed her back.
You did great, sweetie. Even Max said so. I think he liked being just a front man,
Dare said.
He got even more involved with the crowd than usual. He might want to keep this arrangement after his wrist heals.
Dare winked at Reagan, and she had to remind herself that she was a rock star now and should not be shrieking with enthusiasm.
He's been trolling the internet for reviews all night,
Steve said.
He won't admit this to anyone, but he really does care what people say about us.
Dare chuckled.
Max, no way. He's too cool to care. Sure,
Steve said.
I go off to get the lady a drink, and as soon as I turn my back, she starts feeling up her band members,
Trey said with an exaggerated scowl. Trey, I did not feel up any of my band's members, Reagan said and accepted her drink. At least not in public. Steve burst out laughing.
You kill me, Reagan, really.
He pulled a bottle of beer out of the waistband of Trey's pants.
Thanks, I could use a cold one.
He twisted off the bottle cap and took a long swallow before flicking the bottle cap at Trey.
What's up, Dare's little bro? I thought I might ask my girlfriend to dance, but after seeing the company she keeps, I'm not sure I'm famous enough.
Reagan wrapped both arms around Trey and squeezed. He couldn't reciprocate, his hands were full. Dare told me what you did. He stiffened slightly.
What did I do?
You saved his life.
Oh, that. I didn't really have a say in the matter. I couldn't even string an entire sentence together then. Trey, do you want to donate some bone marrow?
Ba-ba-da-da-ya-ya.
They assumed that meant yes.
She snuggled her face into his neck. I still think it's heroic.
Did he tell you he almost died last year?
Dare asked, helping himself to one of the beers in Trey's waistband. Reagan drew away to look up at Trey.
No, he did not. What happened?
Trey took her hand and directed it to the side of his head. She fingered the narrow scar that arched over his ear.
Got hit in the head with a ball bat, he said. Some bleeding on the brain, a couple of grand mal seizures, no big deal.
Dare chuckled.
He says that now.
I remember when that happened, Reagan said. It was all over the news. I didn't realize it was so serious. Her throat tightened as she looked up at him. She couldn't imagine not having him in her life, and wished she could have been there to help him through all the tough times in his past. Overcome with unexpected emotion, she hugged him tight. She didn't even care that one of the drinks in his hand sloshed onto her back. I'm finished partying like a rock star for tonight. Let's go find Ethan and go up to the room. I want to be alone with you, relatively speaking.
You just got here, Steve complained. Everyone wants to meet you.
Reagan glanced around the room. All eyes were on her. If her relationship with Trey had been unknown before, it was definitely no secret now.
One drink,
Trey said, handing her one of the glasses he'd carried from the bar. He handed the spare to his brother and kept one for himself. He turned to stand beside Reagan, wrapping his right arm around her waist as he sipped his drink.
Bring on the admirers.
More like spectators, Reagan murmured. Before anyone had the chance to approach, Ethan appeared next to Reagan.
There were no deliveries tonight, he said.
So how did they get in there? She whispered harshly.
Someone had to bring them personally.
They were inside my dressing room?
Apparently.
What are you two talking about?
Trey asked.
You didn't tell him?
Ethan asked. I didn't want him to worry.
About what?
Trey asked.
She got another one of those threatening messages, on a card and some flowers. I've spent the last hour finding out about any deliveries that were made tonight, but there were no flowers delivered to her dressing room, so whoever it was must have access to the backstage area.
Reagan, why didn't you tell me?
Trey asked. I didn't want you to worry.
That's kind of my job, babe.
Ethan wrapped a comforting arm around her back and Reagan squirmed away from him. He scowled.
What's your problem?
There are people everywhere, she said.
And?
They know I'm with Trey, so I can't get personal with you here.
Why not?
Trey laughed unexpectedly and poked Reagan in the ribs. She gave him her frostiest look. He threw a pointed look in the direction of one of the swarms of reporters who were looking their way.
Smile and laugh, he said under his breath. They can smell drama from a mile away.
Reagan laughed.
You're so hilarious, Trey, she said loudly. Well, I guess I should call it a night. I'm dead on my feet, and I think I've had a little too much to drink.
Exactly half of a rum and coke.
I'll help you find your way,
Trey said.
Follow us,
he whispered to Ethan, like her bodyguard would. There Steve and Logan looked entirely perplexed as Trey wrapped an arm around Reagan's back and helped her find the exit. A seething Ethan followed 2 paces behind, looking every inch the tough bodyguard. Once they were safely on the elevator, they dropped their facades.
So now I can't touch you in public?
Ethan shouted at Reagan. Reagan winced at his tone.
No, Ethan, you can't. They know I'm dating Trey and they wouldn't understand this relationship. I'm not sure if I understand it.
Why didn't you tell me about the message, Reagan?
Trey said.
If this guy...
Or girl,
Ethan interrupted. If this person is running around loose backstage, we need to have everyone we trust keep a lookout for him.
He glanced at Ethan. Or her. He quickly amended.
Whoever it is has to be associated with sinners,
Ethan said. Trey's eyebrows drew together in an angry scowl.
Why do you say that? My crew wouldn't threaten her.
Because it happened on both tours, and the only commonality between the two is your band and your crew,
Ethan said. The elevator door opened, and the three of them fell into an uneasy silence as they passed the 8th-floor security guards on their way to their room. As soon as they were safely inside, Ethan wrapped his arms around Reagan and yanked her against his body.
Is it okay if I touch you now, when it serves your purpose?
Trey grabbed his arm.
Don't talk to her like that.
He shouldn't talk to her harshly, but she understood why he was behaving this way. He was covering up his hurt. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Ethan, Reagan said. Yes, in private we can be open about our relationship, but Trey and I are in the public eye and we can't...
So because Trey is famous, he's the one you're willing to claim in public?
Ethan said.
She didn't say that, Trey said.
They saw me with him first, Ethan. That's the only reason. Ethan shook his head in disbelief. Reagan touched the center of his chest and found his heart was thudding hard and fast. She wrapped both arms around him and held him until he relaxed and lifted his arms to hold her back. I just couldn't handle the added stress of the press finding out about the three of us, Ethan. I'm so sorry I'm not stronger for you. They'd ruin us all if they knew.
I understand, he said. This is enough.
But it wasn't, and Reagan knew that. I should have been more discreet with Trey, too. If I can't be open about both of you, I shouldn't be open about either of you.
We can publicly pretend to break up if you want,
Trey said.
Don't be stupid, Ethan said. It's fine, I said I understand. I just hope we're alone as often as possible.
We're alone right now, Reagan said. She looked up at Ethan, and he cupped her face in both hands before kissing her. Trey moved up against her back and wrapped them both in his arms. Ethan released her lips so he could kiss Trey. Pressed between her two loves, she didn't care if the rest of the world disappeared forever. She had everything she could ever want or need right here. Chapter 32 They'd arrived in San Francisco earlier that morning for the second show of the new tour. While Reagan worked through a full dress rehearsal with Exodus End, Trey sat on the edge of his bunk and watched Brian sleep. Reagan was right. He needed to talk to him about his feelings. Trey would never get over him until he knew exactly how Brian felt about him. Somewhere inside, Trey already knew, but he had to hear it from the man himself. Brian's eyes blinked open, and he drew a deep breath through his nose before smiling drowsily.
"You're watching me sleep?"
he murmured, his voice groggy. He'd gotten in late after skipping the after-party to be with his family, and then driving up the coast with Seth and Jessica to meet the tour buses this afternoon. Trey doubted that he'd even slept the night before.
"I need to talk to you about something,"
Trey said. His heart thudded faster and faster as he tried to think of the best way to broach this subject. How many times had he tried to spill his guts to Brian in the past? 100 times? 1,000?
Yes, I'll be your best man.
Brian's self-indulgent grin made Trey's heart flutter. Maybe if Brian wasn't so attractive or lovable or so perfect.
This isn't about that. Need advice about Reagan?
Trey shook his head.
Something about the band? Your brother? No, this is about you.
Brian scowled.
Did the guys put you up to this? Are they going to bust my balls over my family again? I'm here, aren't I?
No, it's not the guys. I need to tell you something.
So tell me.
Trey stared at him for a long moment.
I love you,
he said breathlessly before he chickened out.
The tension drained from Brian's face and he grinned.
I love you too, man.
Not I love you, man. I love you. Period. Brian gnawed on his lower lip and avoided his gaze.
I thought you should know how I feel,
Trey said quietly, his heart twisting unpleasantly within his chest.
Why?
Trey wasn't sure what he'd expected Brian to say, but that wasn't it.
Why do I love you? No. Why are you telling me this? Especially now. What do you expect me to do about it?
Nothing. I just thought...
That's your problem, Trey. You don't think. You just do what you want based on what feels good or what's convenient for you. Did you ever think maybe I don't want to know how you feel, or that I don't care how you feel?
Brian! Brian climbed out of his bunk, grabbed Trey by both arms, and hauled him to his feet.
Why couldn't you just keep it to yourself? This changes everything, Trey.
Why? Trey asked.
I've felt this way since...
He lowered his eyes. Now he just felt stupid. For Trey, the world had revolved around his feelings for Brian, and now he realized they meant nothing. They'd never meant anything. Not to the person who mattered.
Since when? Brian pressed.
Eyes stinging, Trey shook his head. He wished he'd never brought it up. He placed both hands on Brian's chest and shoved, breaking Brian's grip on his arms. Trey refused to break down in front of him. He wasn't sure what he'd expected Brian to say or do, but he thought Brian would at least be a little understanding, make him feel better, show some of that compassionate heart of his, not be a royal asshole about it. Brian caught his arm.
How long, Trey?
A long fucking time, Brian, okay, but I'm over it now.
Liar, I know you.
You don't know me very well if this is such a big surprise to you. Trey pulled away from him. He had to get off the bus. He couldn't breathe, couldn't think. But he could feel, and it felt like his heart was being ripped out of his chest. Trey had only taken two steps when Brian grabbed the back of his shirt and tossed him into the corner, next to the stereo system in the living area. Brian moved in front of him to block his escape.
Don't run from me. You're the one who brought this up, and we're going to have it out now.
Trey glared at him.
Get out of my face or I'm going to fucking punch you.
So punch me then.
Trey shook his head and lowered his gaze. Brian was right. They needed to get this all out in the open so Trey could find a way to move on.
Did you really not know that I'm in love with you? I thought it was pretty obvious.
I know that you're attracted to me, but I didn't think you loved me. I didn't think you loved anyone.
I've loved you since that first time you made love to me.
Brian's body tensed and he took a step backwards. Trey made the mistake of looking at him. Pissed? Why was he pissed? Jaw set, Brian rubbed a hand over his face.
God, I'm never going to live that down. Look, Trey, I'm sorry about that. I honestly don't know what got into me that night. I was a little drunk and so horny I probably would have fucked just about anyone.
It didn't mean anything to you? Brian tossed his head back as if surprised that Trey was stupid enough to ask such a ridiculous question.
Of course it didn't mean anything. I fucked you, Trey. That's all it was. You should know what sex for the sake of sex means more than anyone.
Trey knew all about meaningless sex, but losing his virginity to Brian had meant everything to him. They'd connected on an emotional level. At least he thought they had. Apparently, he couldn't have been more wrong. He'd never meant anything romantic to Brian. Nothing. Trey stared at him for a long moment. No longer hurt, just kind of numb.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Trey. I didn't know you felt that way. If I had, I would have set you straight.
No reason to be sorry. I'm never sorry for the idiots who fall in love with me just because I fuck them.
And if he'd made them all feel this worthless and used, he was the one who was sorry. He'd never meant to hurt anyone, but this hurt.
You should have told me sooner, Brian said.
Why? So Trey could have had his heart shredded before he'd found Reagan? No thanks. He had a powerful need to see her now. Surely she was almost done rehearsing. He needed her love to fill the gaping hole inside him.
Can I go now, or would you like to twist the knife in my chest a few more times?
This isn't going to affect our music, is it?
Give me some credit, Brian. Has it been an issue before? Forget I said anything, okay?
This time, when Trey forced his body out of the corner and headed for the exit, Brian let him go. Not that he'd ever wanted to keep him in the first place. Chapter 33. Ethan automatically reached for his holster when Trey appeared beside him. Ethan didn't carry a gun, but old habits were hard to break, and he was on his guard for anyone who looked remotely threatening to Reagan. He hadn't let her out of his sight all day. He even stood outside the door whenever she used the bathroom. Despite his continual questioning of everyone, no one had seen anyone put the flowers in her room, and no one had any idea who might want to harm her. Trey wasn't interested in Ethan. He watched Reagan, who was playing through the set again, this time with only Dare. Ethan couldn't read Trey's expression, but something was obviously bothering him, and he seemed to think Reagan was required to make things right.
You okay? Ethan asked. Is she almost done? They just started up again after a little break. She's working so hard to get this right.
She's already perfect. Ethan chuckled.
I think so, too.
Ethan glanced around to make sure no one was watching, and then placed a gentle hand in the center of Trey's back. Trey was shaking like a leaf.
What happened?
I told Brian, he whispered.
He didn't have to say what he told Brian. The night before, Reagan had pestered Trey about telling Brian his feelings, and Ethan had tried to stay out of it.
How did he react?
Trey leaned against Ethan's side, and he knew Reagan didn't want anyone to know that the three of them had something more than friendship together. But Ethan wanted to comfort Trey. He wanted to let his love for him show. Fuck the world and its limited views on acceptable relationships. Why couldn't he love a man? He did. Ethan's arm tightened around Trey's body and drew him closer. He brushed his lips against Trey's ear as he whispered,
You can tell me. I'm here for you, too.
Several members of the crew had noticed them and were gawking. Trey glanced up at him but didn't pull away. He didn't seem to care that people knew about them either. If only Reagan were equally unconcerned. Ethan looked up at the stage. Trey followed his line of sight to Reagan. He sighed and pulled away, putting several inches between them.
I'm going to go wait for Reagan in her dressing room, Trey said.
Ethan nodded. He supposed he shouldn't be surprised that she was the one who Trey would turn to. Trey loved her, after all, and Ethan knew Trey just thought of him as a fuck buddy.
Will you come with me?
Trey whispered. Ethan almost didn't hear him over the wail of two guitars.
Alone?
Trey gave him one of his transform Ethan into a steaming kettle of lust crooked grins, and Ethan knew he would have followed him over a cliff.
Please,
Trey added. Ethan glanced back at the stage. Surely Reagan was safe here, surrounded by the crew and rehearsing on stage with Dare. He'd already alerted everyone to be on the lookout for suspicious characters. Everyone in the stadium had her back. She'd be okay if he let her out of his sight for a few minutes, as long as there were a lot of people around. She'd likely be up on stage for another hour and wouldn't even miss him.
Okay.
He followed Trey to the corridor behind the stage, where there were several dressing rooms. Again, Reagan had a private dressing room. There were perks to being the only female on an all-male tour. As soon as they were inside her dressing room, away from prying eyes, Trey turned into Ethan's chest and wrapped both arms around his waist. Ethan locked him in a firm embrace, one hand cradling the back of Trey's head, to press his face against his neck. Trey's trembling intensified, but he didn't cry. Ethan was glad because he didn't think he could handle that.
Brian didn't take it well, I assume,
Ethan said quietly. Trey shook his head.
He thought my feelings for him were friendship and simple attraction. Reagan was wrong. I shouldn't have told him how I feel about him. Now things are going to be awkward between us.
Maybe he's just covering up his feelings for you. Give him time to think about it.
Ethan didn't want Brian to have feelings for Trey, but he wanted Trey to be happy, and he knew this had been eating him up inside for a long time, long before Ethan had even met him.
He doesn't love me. He never did.
Trey's arms tightened around Ethan's waist.
The times we made love didn't mean anything to him. All this time, I thought.
He's an idiot. He has no idea how blessed he is to have your heart. I'd do anything to win it.
Ethan touched his cheek and Trey lifted his head to stare up into his eyes.
Anything.
Ethan whispered before lowering his head and claiming Trey's mouth in a deep kiss. When he pulled away, Trey's eyes were no longer sad. They were hungry.
Fuck me senseless, he said.
Can do. Ethan reached for Trey's belt. He didn't have to ask to know what Trey wanted from him. Ethan understood perfectly. Unfortunately, it was not the same thing that Ethan wanted, and he wasn't sure how to take this relationship to the next level. Trey leaning on him for emotional support was a start, but here they were back to fulfilling sexual needs. Perhaps Ethan should tell him no. Put some provisions on this relationship. Stop allowing this man to lead him around by the nose, or the dick. And then Ethan's shirt was off and Trey's mouth was on his throat and Trey's cock was in Ethan's hands, and all Ethan could think about was losing himself inside the only man who'd ever touched his heart. Trey bit his collarbone and sucked a bit of his skin into his mouth, sucking hard enough to leave a mark, claiming him, physically.
Fuck.
Trey fumbled with Ethan's fly and released his hard cock. Ethan took it in his hand and pressed his length against Trey's. He stroked their combined cocks together in both hands until Trey moaned. He tugged his head back, releasing the suction on the skin along Ethan's collarbone.
Take me. Don't be gentle, he said.
Ethan had known that's what Trey wanted, but he'd hoped for something a little more tender. Maybe next time. Trey was hurting emotionally and wanted something physically rough to offset that. This time would be just for Trey. Ethan kissed him, still stroking their cocks together. When Trey whimpered in his mouth, he decided tenderness would probably upset him more. Ethan pulled away and shoved Trey toward the sofa. He spotted Reagan's purse on the table behind the sofa and knew everything he needed to prepare Trey for penetration would be inside. He adored that woman.
On your knees with your face in the sofa cushions and hold yourself open for me,
Ethan demanded. Trey smiled sadly.
Thank you for giving me what I need right now.
Trey moved toward the sofa, leaving his pants around his knees. Not bothering to remove his shoes either, he knelt on the floor near one end of the sofa and buried his face in the cushions. Trey gripped both cheeks of his ass to spread them apart. Ethan found a condom and lube in Reagan's purse. He worked quickly to prepare himself and then moved in position behind Trey. He didn't warn him, just plunged deep and started thrusting. Soon, Trey's body began to move with him, rocking back to meet his thrusts, encouraging him to pound harder.
Harder, please, drive him away,
Trey said, his voice muffled by the cushions. Ethan stopped moving and grabbed a fistful of Trey's hair.
Are you thinking about him right now? Are you thinking about Brian while I fuck you?
Trey hesitated.
Not exactly.
Not exactly.
Ethan had had enough. He pulled out.
On your back, Mills,
he said gruffly.
Ethan?
Trey's goddamn voice was trembling with emotion. How could Trey expect Ethan to fuck him under these circumstances? Ethan wanted more than a physical connection with Trey, and he was going to take what he wanted.
You heard me, Trey. Lie on the sofa on your back. The floor is hard. It's hurting my knees.
Mostly a lie. Trey looked at him over his shoulder. Ethan somehow managed to keep his expression hard and commanding, even though his heart was melting. When Trey climbed up on the sofa and settled down on his back, Ethan finished undressing.
Take off your clothes, Trey.
But...
I can't fuck you in that position with your pants on. Take them off.
He complied.
Shirt, too.
I don't understand.
Just do it, Trey. Why do you always question me after you ask me to take the upper hand?
He shook his head.
I don't know.
Trey removed his shirt and collapsed against the sofa. He avoided Ethan's eyes and murmured,
Just hurry, please hurry.
Trey always got what he wanted, but not this time. Ethan wasn't in any hurry at all. Ethan removed the rest of his clothes and knelt beside the sofa. Gently cupping Trey's balls, he extended his middle finger and rubbed it against Trey's entrance. His other hand directed Trey's cock into his mouth. He sucked hard and bobbed his head vigorously.
Ethan,
he groaned.
Don't!
Though his hands were pressing against the back of Ethan's head and he was thrusting upward into Ethan's mouth, Ethan moved his hand to cover Trey's mouth. Ethan lifted his head and stared into Trey's startled eyes.
You'll take what I give you and not complain. Stroke your cock while I suck it, not in a way that you hurt yourself, so it feels good.
When Trey nodded and wrapped one hand around his cock, Ethan moved his hand from his mouth and trailed it down his chest. He caught Trey's nipple ring with the tip of his finger and tugged it gently in time with the stroke of his fingertip against his ass.
Feels so good,
Trey gasped. Ethan kissed a trail down Trey's flat belly, watching Trey's hand to make sure he was stroking himself gently.
Good,
he murmured, before sucking the head of Trey's cock into his mouth. Trey's entire body jerked. When Trey began to writhe and produce excited gasps of pleasure, Ethan decided he was in a hurry after all. He released Trey's cock and shifted to look him in the eye.
Are you ready for me?
I'm always ready for you.
Ethan climbed onto the sofa, settled between Trey's legs, and possessed him with slow, deep thrusts. He watched Trey's reactions and could tell that physically Trey was enjoying every second of this, but he was still holding back that emotional connection Ethan craved, mostly because even though they were face to face, Trey refused to look Ethan in the eye. Ethan kissed Trey's jaw tenderly and then whispered in his ear,
Why won't you look at me? Are you ashamed?
Of course not.
Then why?
I never look.
Trey looked Reagan in the eyes when they made love. Ethan had been witness to it, and coveted the same interaction. Ethan lifted his head to stare down into Trey's flushed face. He kissed the freckles on the bridge of Trey's nose and smiled gently. He loved this man. It was about time he knew it.
Look at me, Trey.
Trey squeezed his eyes shut even more tightly and shook his head.
You are ashamed.
I'm not. How can you even think that?
He opened his eyes and glared at Ethan. That's when Ethan knew he had him. Neither of them could look away as their bodies joined in perfect synchrony, and Ethan got his first real look at Trey's emotional side. It was a far greater gift than he'd anticipated.
I love you. Ethan said. Trey.
Trey's eyes widened and he shook his head in denial. Ethan held his gaze and nodded until Trey copied his motion and nodded as well.
What are you going to do about it?
Ethan asked.
I don't know. Love you back? Sounds wonderful. Tell me when you get there.
Almost,
Trey whispered with a crooked grin. The double meaning wasn't lost on Ethan. He rested his weight on one elbow and used his free hand to stroke Trey's cock. Trey's eyelids fluttered as he lost himself to pleasure, but he didn't look away. Even when he let go in Ethan's hand, he continued to stare into Ethan's eyes. Ethan shuddered as he followed Trey to bliss, equally lost in the connection between them, as he was in the release offered to his body. He kissed Trey's lips briefly.
"That felt good,"
he said.
"Of course it did. I mean to finally tell you I love you. I've known since our first time together. Now that you know, are you going to make me leave?"
Trey shook his head and touched Ethan's face. He searched his eyes for a moment.
"It's gone,"
he said.
"What's gone?"
"The emptiness. Reagan filled much of it, but there was a part of me I thought only Brian would ever touch. I don't need him to feel loved anymore. I think I need you for that, Ethan."
Ethan smiled, his heart thudding with joy.
"Do you mean that?"
"Yeah, I love you. Now cuddle with me for a few minutes and then we'll go tell Reagan."
Ethan reached for a packet of tissues to clean up himself and Trey. He tossed the tissues and his expended condom in the trash. He rejoined Trey on the sofa, squeezing in behind him with his back against the sofa back and Trey wrapped securely in his arms. Trey snuggled against him.
"Nice," he muttered drowsily.
"How do you think Reagan will take this?"
"Take what?"
"That her two lovers have fallen in love with each other?"
Ethan smiled and kissed the side of Trey's head.
"She can't be too upset, seeing as she loves both of us."
"And we both love her."
"Do you think I should be the one to tell her?"
Ethan said. "We'll tell her together."
"In a few minutes."
Ethan's eyes drifted shut. Chapter 34.
"I don't understand what I'm doing wrong,"
Reagan said to Dare, so frustrated she was nearly in tears.
"You're doing everything right for Max,"
Dare said.
"You're doing nothing right for yourself."
"But I'm supposed to be replacing Max," she said.
"No, you're supposed to be our new rhythm guitarist. Let's play Bite again. This time don't try to be exactly like Max, just play it, how you feel it."
"Play it with feeling, Reagan. That's how you win first prize. Not by getting it perfect, but by making the audience part of the music." The advice her father had repeated to her before every competition entered her thoughts. Is that what Dare meant? She started her part of Bite the way Max played it. She glanced at Dare, who yawned exaggeratedly. She made a face at him and then tried to give up on copying Max exactly. She relaxed her stance and let her fingers move with more fluidity.
"Better,"
Dare said.
"Again, even looser this time."
They played it again, and again, until she finally figured out what everyone had been trying to tell her. She wasn't Max and shouldn't try to be. Reagan finally felt like she'd found the spark she'd been missing. It felt like the weight of the world had lifted from her shoulders, and she loved Dare for helping her, adored him. She 100% understood why he meant so much to Trey. She supposed Dare was almost like her big brother, too. Her attractive big brother, who made her think incestuous thoughts. Dare squeezed her shoulder.
"You've got it now. Don't lose it again."
She nodded.
"Go rest up for tonight's show,"
he suggested.
"Thanks, Dare."
"No problem."
She handed her guitar off to some roadie and glanced around backstage for Ethan. She checked behind the equipment cases, in the sound equipment pit at the side of the stage, in the empty stands that would soon be filled with tens of thousands of fans. He was gone. He bitched at her constantly about going off on her own, and he was nowhere to be found. Maybe he'd gone to the bathroom.
She supposed overprotective bodyguards had to take a piss sometime. She had finished rehearsing much sooner than she'd anticipated, so he'd probably thought he had plenty of time. Maybe she should just wait here for him. After several fidgety minutes of waiting, she went to ask around. "Have you seen Ethan?" she asked one of Exodus N's stage crew.
"The big good-looking guy who follows you around?"
"Yeah, him."
"I think he went that way with Trey Mills."
The guy pointed toward the corridor where the dressing rooms were located. She grinned, hoping they were waiting for her in her dressing room, naked. "Thanks." She could really use some alone time with her guys before she had to be on stage. The corridor was blissfully empty. Ethan worried too much. She was perfectly capable of walking 20 feet to her dressing room without a muscle-bound hunk to defend her. When she reached the door labeled with her name, she opened it and paused on the threshold. Well, she couldn't say that she blamed Ethan for wandering off. And they were naked, but hadn't bothered to wait for her to join them. Ethan and Trey were tangled in each other's arms, fast asleep on the sofa. They looked cozy and sexually sated. Reagan watched them sleep for a moment, a gentle smile on her lips. She hadn't been sure how seeing them together without her involvement would make her feel. She hadn't expected to feel giddy and full of wonder. In a little while, she'd wake them and demand to become part of their tangle of limbs. But for now, she was content to watch them sleep. They seemed so content, tender, loving. She wondered what had brought on this change. She caught her own reflection in the mirror, and her heart skipped a beat. It stopped beating for several seconds as the message scrawled in lipstick on the mirror caught her attention. "You took what's mine, Reagan Elliott. I will have it back." From behind, a hand covered her mouth and nose. Startled, Reagan sucked a deep breath into her lungs. Something chemical accompanied her inrush of air. Her vision blurred, head swam.
"I've come to take what's mine,"
a deep voice said in her ear. Familiar. She'd heard it before but couldn't place where. She managed to bang into the door, hopefully loud enough to wake her snoozing bodyguard, before she totally blacked out. Chapter 35. Ethan's eyes flipped open. Trey flopped from sofa to the floor when Ethan sat up abruptly. Someone had slammed the door shut or something. Reagan would not be happy if someone had caught him in a compromising position with Trey. Silence greeted his straining ears. It was not comforting.
"I don't hear music,"
Ethan said and jumped to his feet. He grabbed his pants and hopped into them, still zipping his fly as he darted into the corridor. Except for the bang of a hammer somewhere, the stadium was silent. Sometime between when Ethan had closed his eyes and the door had banged shut, Reagan had finished rehearsing. Some bodyguard he'd turned out to be. He wondered if she'd seen him and Trey together and had stormed off in anger. There was no guarantee that she'd approve of their romantic interest in each other, just because she had no problem with their sexual relationship.
"Where is she?"
Trey asked. He'd managed his pants and t-shirt, but was still barefoot.
"She's probably with the band."
Ethan glanced over his shoulder and caught his reflection in the mirror, and the message scrawled above his astonished face in red lipstick.
"Do you smell something?"
Trey asked. Ethan took a deep breath through his nose. It was faint, but there was no mistaking the sweet chemical smell.
"Ether."
He shoved Trey in the direction of the stage.
"Go see if she's with the band. I'll go out behind the stadium. He's been in her dressing room again. I'm afraid he's taken her this time."
Trey raced down the corridor while Ethan went in the opposite direction. When Ethan burst through the back doors, it took his eyes a moment to adjust to the bright sunshine. Even when he could actually see what was happening, he blinked several times because he couldn't believe it.
"Get back or I'll kill her. I'll do it."
some wild-eyed guy with bizarre burgundy and green-striped bangs had a guitar string wrapped around Reagan's throat. She was unconscious and apparently heavier than she looked. He was having a hard time keeping the wire tight while he tried, rather unsuccessfully, to drag her backwards toward the parking lot. Her heels dragged across the pavement and slowed the wiry-framed guy down. While given time, the wacko could potentially kill her with the guitar string, Sinner's road crew didn't look ready to give him the opportunity. Jake had a guitar cocked like a baseball bat and was slowly inching his way behind the guy. Rebecca had a cymbal in hand and was looking for an opening to practice her discus throwing. Others hopped out of the back of the semi-trailer with pieces of equipment and heavy tools.
"You don't really think you're going to get away with this, do you?"
Ethan said. He placed his hands on his hips, trying not to look threatening. He didn't want Reagan to get hurt any more than she already had, and he feared if he rushed the guy, he'd do something drastic.
"Let her go and you'll only be charged with attempted kidnapping, and I won't be charged with homicide."
Brian came out of Sinner's tour bus, a few yards from where the guy was slowly dragging Reagan backward.
"What in the hell is going on out here?"
He took in Ethan's partial state of undress before his eyes fell on Reagan, who'd been dragged another few feet toward the parking lot. The kidnapper, who was obviously no criminal mastermind, dropped Reagan on the asphalt. The guitar string went taut, and Ethan could see it cut into her skin from a distance.
"Master Sinclair?"
the man said.
"It's a privilege." "What in the fuck are you doing?"
Brian said.
"Let her go."
The guy's eyes widened as he realized he'd dropped his cargo. Ethan took a deep breath when the guy bent over, and the guitar string around Reagan's throat loosened again. The kidnapper wrapped an arm around her body just beneath her breasts and stood upright, dragging her backward several feet, before pausing to catch his breath again. The guy had to be high out of his mind, otherwise he'd realize there was no way his plan would succeed, not with this many witnesses. Or maybe he was just crazy and had nothing to lose. Ethan just hoped he didn't do anything even more stupid and hurt Reagan in the process. The sound of approaching sirens drew the guy's attention.
"Which one of you called the cops?"
Trey stepped out from behind Ethan and waved a cell phone at the guy.
"That would be me. If you put her down now, they might not shoot you when they get here." "And Jason and I might not take turns punching you in the fucking face,"
Eric said, coming out of the building to stand beside Trey. Jay stepped out of the shadows and cracked his knuckles.
"And then there's me,"
Said, who rivaled Ethan in build, said from the doorway.
"No one messes with a Sinner's girl and gets away with it."
"I wasn't gonna hurt her. I just wanted her out of the way."
The guy's wild eyes darted from one person to the next.
"Isn't he with one of the opening bands?" Jace asked.
"Hell's Crypt?"
"Dim Reaper?"
Eric asked.
"No, they stopped touring with us a month ago,"
Jay said.
"Hell's Crypt is the new one, with the movie monster theme, vampire, werewolf, Frankenstein, kinda lame."
"Really lame,"
Eric said.
"Shut up,"
the guy wailed.
"We're not lame."
"I don't even know who you're talking about,"
Sed said.
"Wait,"
Trey said. He snapped his fingers and pointed at him.
"I know who this guy is. He was at Exodus End's contest audition. The one that Reagan won."
"I never even got the chance to audition,"
he bellowed.
"I was supposed to be the one on stage with Exodus End, not her. She took what was mine."
Reagan moaned and slapped herself in the face with a clumsy hand.
"What?"
she mumbled. The guy fumbled with something in his pocket. While he was distracted, Rebecca let the cymbal fly. It bounced off his head with a loud clang. Ethan took the opening and made his move, dashing across the parking lot as fast as his legs would carry him. Brian was closer. He got a hand on Reagan and slid his free hand under the guitar string to protect her throat as he wrenched her out of the kidnapper's grasp.
Before the guy could wrestle her away from Brian, Ethan tackled him to the ground. The dark part of Ethan tried to take the upper hand and beat the ever-loving shit out of this crazy bastard. But he breathed through the rage and just held the guy's struggling body down to wait for the police cruisers to arrive. He turned his head to see how Reagan had fared. Trey held her on his lap and stroked her hair as he spoke to her. She seemed groggy but coherent.
"We're going for a ride in an ambulance. Doesn't that sound fun?"
Trey asked her.
"I'd rather ride in the limo,"
she groaned.
"Damn, my head hurts." "How's your neck?"
"I don't know, I feel sort of numb, and tired, and nauseous."
She turned her head and stared at the guy who had Ethan's knee in his back, and his arms pulled up behind him at a sharp angle. He wasn't going anywhere. Reagan shook her head and laughed.
"I can't believe I've been afraid of Pyre this whole time. In a fair fight, I could take him down myself."
"I've got him pinned if you want to take a cheap shot at him,"
Ethan said. "Maybe later," she murmured.
"Are you okay, Reagan?"
Seth asked, looking from her to Pyre, as if he couldn't decide if he'd rather comfort her or kick the shit out of Pyre.
"I'll be fine, I'm just tired."
Her eyelids fluttered and Trey gave her a harsh shake.
"Try to stay awake, okay?"
he said.
"I'm pretty sure that stuff can kill you if you breathe in too much."
"I didn't mean to hurt her,"
Pyre said.
"Just get her out of the way so I could have my chance. I never even got a chance. I'm sick of being in the opening band."
Ethan tugged Pyre's arms up another inch, which shut him up immediately. A pair of police cruisers pulled to a halt near the tour buses. Two officers entered the scene with their hands at their gun belts.
"Ethan Connor, professional bodyguard."
Ethan identified himself.
"I've subdued the perpetrator."
"I'll say,"
one of the officers said as he removed a pair of handcuffs from his belt and grabbed one of Pyre's wrists. Pyre was handcuffed and pulled upright to sit on the ground. He didn't look the slightest bit threatening now, more pathetic than anything. The officers started the interview process to get everyone's story straight. Ethan had to talk to one of them while the paramedics looked Reagan over. Besides a severe case of nausea, a headache, and a few small cuts and bruises, she seemed to be fine. That didn't mean Ethan liked to be interviewed for an incident report while Trey got to hold her hand and tell her everything was going to be all right, as she recounted her own version of the events to the other officer. When Ethan finally finished describing all of the details, several of the road crew came over to offer their take on the situation. Ethan went to stand at the other end of the ambulance where Reagan sat.
"Hey," she said, a delightful blush staining her cheeks.
"I can't begin to tell you how sorry I am that I let him get his hands on you,"
Ethan said. She shook her head.
"I'm okay."
"That should never have happened. I allowed myself to be distracted and..."
"I did the distracting,"
Trey said.
"I'm as much at fault as he is."
"So while I was being stalked, drugged, and strangled, you two were making love, cuddling, and sharing your feelings?"
That made it sound even worse. Ethan's heart twisted with guilt.
"Reagan."
"While I was being dragged across a parking lot, beaten with a rubber hose, and stuffed into the trunk of a car, you two were kissing, touching, and playing hide the salami?"
"He beat you?"
Trey exclaimed. Reagan chuckled.
"No, I'm just fucking with you. And once I stop feeling like I'm gonna hurl, I'd say the two of you have a lot to make up to me."
How could she be so forgiving? He'd put her in danger. She could have been seriously injured. She should be yelling at him, calling him names, firing him for being the worst bodyguard on the planet. Ethan stroked her hair behind her ear and brushed her soft cheek with the pat of his thumb.
"I love you."
"I know," she said. "I love you too."
Ethan glanced at Trey. It was the first time Trey had heard Reagan say those words to another man. Ethan wondered how he'd take it. Trey grinned and squeezed Reagan's hand.
Ethan, I need you to do something for me, Reagan said.
Anything.
Tell me how you feel about Trey. Ethan tried to read her expression to figure out what she wanted to hear, but she was staring down at her hand, which was held securely in Trey's.
I love him,
Ethan said breathlessly. She looked up at him and smiled. I thought so.
You're okay with it?
Ethan pressed. Under one condition, Reagan said. She glanced at Trey. Do you love Ethan? Trey nodded.
Yeah, I do. I love him.
She smiled. Good. And who else?
You?
He said without hesitation. And Brian? She asked. Trey chuckled and caught Ethan's eye.
Who's Brian?
Ethan smiled. Trey had let Brian go for real this time.
He's the guy I need to thank for grabbing Reagan so I could take that guy down,
Ethan said, glancing over his shoulder. Pyre was in the back of the cruiser now. He had a scrape along the side of his face where he'd hit the asphalt, but Ethan had somehow kept it together and not knocked him around too much. Are you going to go back on the force now? Reagan asked. Ethan gave her a questioning look.
Why would I do that?
Because you loved it, and the only reason you left was because you protect the innocent a bit too violently. You were completely in control when you took Pyre down.
You don't want me as your bodyguard anymore?
Ethan asked.
You do suck at it,
Trey quipped. Ethan scowled.
Yeah, because I was sucking you instead of guarding her.
Next time I'll make sure I'm there when you're sucking him so you can keep an eye on me, Reagan said.
I guess that would be safest,
Ethan agreed. He lowered his head and stole a kiss from her.
What's going on here?
Someone said behind Ethan. He turned to find Dare staring at him with a mixture of confusion and anger. Dare then looked at his brother in question.
You let some other dude kiss your girl right in front of you? No wonder you have relationship problems.
Ethan's my boyfriend, Trey explained.
So the thing with Reagan is a front to hide your relationship with him?
Dare pointed at Ethan and looked even more confused.
But he just kissed her.
Dare's pointing bounced from Ethan to Reagan.
That's because he's her boyfriend,
Trey said, grinning his orneriest. Ethan figured it wasn't often that Trey got to mess with his brother's head. It was usually the other way around.
I thought you just said he was your boyfriend,
Dare said.
He is,
Trey nodded.
And hers?
Right.
And she's your girlfriend.
Dare pointed at Reagan. Trey pointed at Ethan.
And his.
Realization dawned on Dare's face. He made a circular motion with one finger.
So the three of you? All together?
Exactly, Trey said. Dare smiled and slapped his brother on the arm repeatedly.
That's fantastic!
Ethan could not imagine telling his brothers about his lifestyle, much less thinking they'd accept it, and they sure as hell wouldn't be enthusiastic about it. Dare just seemed glad that his brother had found happiness, even if it was in an unconventional way.
Are you feeling okay, Reagan?
Dare asked.
I heard some guy grabbed you.
I'm fine, she snorted and shook her head. Worst kidnapper ever. Dare squeezed her knee, his concern tangible.
You'll be okay for the show tonight?
She nodded. I do think I need to lie down for a little while.
You should definitely get some rest.
Dare agreed. I'm bringing these two with me, she said quietly. Resting will not be on my agenda. Dare laughed and tousled her hair affectionately.
Rock on, little sister.
Reagan looked into the back of the ambulance to the paramedic, who was sitting on a bench along the sidewall. He looked a tad uncomfortable about what he must have overheard. Can I go now? She asked him.
Doc says if you start vomiting uncontrollably, you need to come to the hospital.
Reagan made a face of disgust.
I don't think that's going to happen. My nausea is all gone now.
Then you're free to go. Just make sure someone is around to keep an eye on you.
Will do, Trey said. He hopped off the back end of the ambulance and lifted Reagan into his arms.
Where to?
Take me to bed.
On the tour bus?
I don't think there was enough room on that dressing room sofa for three. Ethan smiled. Seeing the two of them together warmed his heart almost as much as being with the two of them did.
I'll be right there, Ethan said. I need to go talk to someone for a second.
We'll be sure to start without you, Trey said. He nodded a farewell at his brother and headed for the tour bus. Ethan walked over to Brian Sinclair, who was watching the last police cruiser pull away with a remorseful pyre in the back seat. Ethan could totally see how Trey could have loved the guy for almost 13 years. The man was exquisite. He started when he noticed Ethan standing beside him.
I wanted to thank you for getting Reagan away from that guy, Ethan said. I wasn't sure how to get him to release her without causing her harm. I was too far away.
Brian smiled.
No problem. I didn't want to see her get hurt either. She means a lot to Trey.
His face twisted when he said his name.
And he means a lot to you.
Brian looked away.
Yeah, he always has. And you told him otherwise. Why?
Brian scowled.
How do you know what I told him? He told me. You could have let him down a little easier. Why did you have to hurt him so bad? So he could move on. I should have done it years ago. Having someone like Trey in love with you is hard to give up, you know? He's so...
Brian stared at the darkening sky overhead as he searched for the right word.
Passionate. Yeah,
Ethan agreed.
So if you cared about him, why not try to make something of it?
Not that he wanted Brian to be with Trey. If Ethan had been in Brian's position, he never could have pushed Trey away.
Too complicated. And besides, I have Myrna now. She's more than enough for me.
He glanced over his shoulder and grinned at Trey's attempts to carry Reagan up the steep bus steps without dropping her or whacking her head on the door.
I just hope Reagan's enough for him. She's not, but she knows that and she's okay with it now.
Ethan wanted to shout it from the rooftops.
You fucking fool. You gave Trey up and now he's mine, ours, and worth every complication anyone can throw at us.
Brian shifted his gaze to Ethan's. His expression was a mix of surprise and confusion.
What do you mean?
Ethan smiled.
You'll figure it out.
He slapped Brian on the back and followed his two lovers, his two loves, to the bedroom. Chapter 36. Reagan held on to Trey's neck as he staggered up the bus steps. Maybe she should be upset about Pyre's attempt to kidnap her and strangle her with a guitar string, but she was just so happy that it was over with, she felt like celebrating. And knowing that Trey and Ethan were in love with each other was another reason to celebrate. Trey carried her to the bedroom and dumped her on the bed.
I have a phone call to make, he said.
A phone call? At a time like this? Reagan thought.
Yup.
He retrieved his cell phone from his pocket and searched for whatever number he needed in his encyclopedic list of contacts.
Hello, this is Trey Mills. I was supposed to call you today about some test results. Yeah, I'll hold.
Reagan grinned. She was willing to wait for him to make this phone call. Sex without condoms? Oh, please, oh, please, oh, please.
All right, good,
he said, giving her a thumbs up.
And my two partners?
He chuckled.
Yes, two partners.
His smile broadened.
Great, can you hold on for a second?
He covered the phone with his hand.
Do you want her to repeat the results for you, or do you believe me when I say it's time to go all out raw?
Reagan laughed and threw a pillow at him.
I believe you.
He spoke into his phone again.
That's all then, thanks.
He chuckled.
Yes, two partners. And just between you and me, they're both super hot.
He laughed again and disconnected. We're all set? Reagan asked.
All set.
He crawled up on the bed beside her and took her hand. He kissed her knuckles as he stared into her eyes.
In a way, this will be like me losing my virginity.
In a very loose interpretation of the definition kind of way, Reagan teased. Ethan appeared in the doorway.
I figured she'd be halfway to her third orgasm by now. Were you waiting for me?
Trey was calling the clinic to find out our test results. Ethan's eyebrows shot up and he swiveled his head in Trey's direction.
And?
I don't have to worry about being caught without a condom ever again. We're all clean.
That's good,
Ethan said.
Because we have a lot of unprotected oral sex.
Trey laughed.
That's true.
Get in here and close the door, Reagan demanded. Take off your clothes. Take off my clothes. Ravish my body. Reagan opened her arms wide in invitation. Trey worked on removing her shirt and bra, while Ethan removed her jeans, panties, and sandals. When they had her naked, Trey lowered his head to suckle one breast while he massaged the other. Ethan nibbled trails of fire along the insides of her thighs. "Has Trey ever told you that he's a virgin?" Reagan asked, stroking Ethan's hair with one hand and Trey's with the other. Ethan lifted his head and snorted with laughter.
Is today opposite day?
He's never had sex without a condom. Ethan gave Trey a pitying look.
You are a virgin. Let me get her ready for you.
Trey smacked him on the back of the head as he lowered it to suck on the heated flesh between Reagan's thighs. Her head was still swimming slightly, so she closed her eyes and concentrated on the sensation of Trey at her breasts, Ethan down lower. She rocked her hips against Ethan's face as her excitement mounted. He lifted his head.
Come here, Trey.
Ethan moved aside and wrapped an arm around Trey's waist to position his hips between Reagan's thighs.
I want to put you inside her. Can I?
Reagan lifted her head and stared down her body to watch Ethan take Trey's cock in his hand. She lost sight of it as Ethan directed it inside her body, but she felt it, felt Trey inside of her.
Oh!
Trey groaned as he sank deeper, his belly quivering against hers. Ethan swatted his ass.
Take her, Trey.
He moved to lie next to Reagan on the bed, and they both stared up at Trey as he possessed her with deep, rhythmic thrusts. His eyes were closed, mouth open, as he gasped in excitement. Reagan caressed his back with one hand, rocking her hips to meet his strokes. Look at us, Trey. His eyes fluttered open, and he stared down at Reagan with a look of rapture and love on his gorgeous face. How's that feel? She asked.
So good. So good, he whispered. I'm glad I saved myself for you, Reagan.
He grinned and winked at her before lowering his head to claim her lips in a deep kiss. He drew away and stared down at her. She got lost in his body, his gaze.
I love you, he said.
He then shifted so he could kiss Ethan, who was still lying beside Reagan, with his head against her shoulder.
I love you, he whispered against Ethan's lips.
He tugged away so he could stare down at both of them. His steady strokes grew more rapid. Reagan's back arched off the bed as her pleasure built to match his urgency.
Can I come inside you, Reagan?
Yes. He held onto her shoulders as he buried himself deep and shuddered with release. His mouth dropped open, face twisted in bliss as his gaze shifted from Reagan to Ethan and back to Reagan. His body went slack and he buried his face in Reagan's throat.
I want to do that again, he said. Not until I get a turn,
Ethan said. Trey pulled out and rolled over on Reagan's opposite side,
and Ethan took his place between Reagan's thighs. He plunged into her with one deep thrust.
"Damn, she's wet,"
Ethan said.
"Some of that's mine,"
Trey said with a teasing grin. Ethan shuddered.
"I can't tell you how much that turns me on. Kiss me, Trey."
Trey kissed him. Ethan thrust into Reagan harder and faster.
"Let me suck her cum off of you."
"I think he likes this,"
Trey said to Reagan.
"God, Reagan, you feel so good,"
Ethan shouted. Trey shifted up the bed so Ethan could bend sideways and suck and lick Reagan's juices from Trey's flaccid cock. Ethan made content noises in the back of his throat. It wasn't long before Trey was hard again. Ethan rolled onto his side, dragging Reagan with him.
"Get in here with me, Trey."
"What?" Reagan said.
"She's so wet. You'll love this."
Ethan pulled out and Trey moved in against her back. Trey thrust into her from behind several times before pulling out to let Ethan take his place. Reagan clung to Ethan's shoulders as her body found release and she cried out. She couldn't tell exactly what they were doing, didn't care as long as they kept doing it. Their hands were working one cock against another, before one plunged into her, thrust, pulled out, again, again, and then without warning, they were both inside her. Two cocks buried in her sopping wet pussy, working against each other, together, against each other. It was a tight fit at first, but her body quickly adjusted to the added girth.
"Fuck, that's amazing,"
Ethan growled.
"New favorite position,"
Trey groaned. Reagan cried out as she came again.
"Reagan, are you okay, honey?"
Ethan asked. His hips pounded against her as he kept driving himself deep and rubbing his cock against Trey's, which was thrusting into her just as hard and deep.
"Oh, yes," she cried. "I'm better than okay. Don't stop. Don't stop."
"I'm gonna come,"
Ethan said.
"Me too, me too,"
Trey chanted breathlessly. Reagan didn't think she'd ever stopped coming. She felt like she was floating on the ceiling. Ethan shouted in triumph as his body went rigid.
"Keep rubbing against me, Trey, don't stop."
Trey struggled to keep thrusting while Ethan held perfectly still, and then Trey went rigid.
"I can feel you coming, Trey,"
Ethan whispered, his head tilted back, eyes glazed over in bliss. They lay in the aftermath for a long time, none of them willing to let go of the other. Reagan had never felt like such an important part of anything before, but she was a part of these two men she loved, just as they were a part of her, and a part of each other. None of them whole without the other two. Chapter 37. A couple of days later, Trey stood in the hallway of the tour bus and watched Brian apply his guy liner in the bathroom mirror. They hadn't spoken since Brian had broken his heart in San Francisco. Trey felt he needed to say something to him. He wasn't sure what. Things just felt unfinished between them, uncomfortable. He'd never felt that way around Brian before, and he needed it to go away. It was fucking with his perfect happiness. And he knew without a doubt that it would affect their music on stage that night. Their show in San Francisco had been terse. The flow of music between them had been off all night. He needed to fix that, somehow.
"Take a picture, it'll last longer,"
Brian said, catching Trey's gaze in the mirror and grinning at him. Trey laughed. That had been Trey's favorite saying in the fifth grade, when he'd first met Brian. Back before things had gotten complicated. Could they ever get that simple friendship back? Trey wasn't sure, but he had to try.
"How's Malcolm?"
Trey asked. Small talk was a start. It would help him find the courage to press forward with more difficult words.
"I guess he's good. I haven't heard from Myrna all day."
Trey scowled. That didn't sound like Myrna. He hoped everything was okay. She wouldn't hide a problem from Brian to keep him from worrying, would she? Of course she would.
Did you call her?
Yeah, she texted me and told me her day was entirely full and that she wouldn't have time to talk until tonight.
So she's okay?
Brian smiled.
She's fine. Jessica told me to give the woman a moment's peace and sent me a picture of Malcolm in his car seat to assure me he was okay. I guess they're running errands today.
Trey laughed.
Oh, for a minute I thought you'd learned to relax.
Brian met his eyes in the mirror again.
How long have you known me, Trey?
18 years.
Trey closed his eyes, hoping it would help him find the courage to say what needed to be said.
I forgive you. For knowing me?
No, for breaking my heart. I kind of needed it, actually.
Brian touched Trey's shoulder and he opened his eyes. He stared into Brian's deep brown eyes and was surprised that the connection between them was still there. It felt different. The horrible, aching longing he used to feel when he looked at Brian was gone. But the closeness that can only forge between two people who'd been through everything together was still there. Trey was so relieved his eyes prickled with tears. Brian's fingers clenched in Trey's shirt, and he gave him a little shake.
If you start crying, I'm gonna fucking pound you,
Brian said.
I just put on my eyeliner, and I don't want to have to redo it.
Trey laughed.
I'm not gonna cry. I'm just glad we can move forward. I thought maybe I'd ruined our friendship.
Brian's hand relaxed, and he smoothed Trey's sleeve.
Does she make you happy?
Reagan?
Trey smiled.
Yeah, I love her. And Ethan, too.
Brian nodded.
Then we're good.
He shoved Trey in the shoulder and brushed past him.
I'm going for a walk.
His phone beeped and he paused to check his text message.
Myrna?
Trey asked.
Yeah, it says, honey, we're home. I guess that means they're done with errands and I can call her now.
Outside, a loud horn sounded. Brian dialed his wife while Trey looked outside through the large tinted window over the sofa to see what was going on in the parking lot. There was a large RV he'd never seen before, parked next to the bus. When Trey recognized its driver, he grabbed Brian by the shirt and pulled him to the window.
Hey, sweetheart.
Trey could hear Myrna's voice coming through Brian's phone.
I've got a surprise for you.
What are you doing in that RV?
Brian asked her.
Well, I figured since you can't come home, I'd bring home to you.
What?
Come over and see.
Trey pulled Brian to the front of the bus just as Reagan and Ethan stumbled out of the bedroom at the end of the narrow hall.
What's going on? Reagan asked.
Myrna's here,
Trey said and hauled Brian down the steps. Brian finally found the sense to move on his own. He met Myrna at the bottom of the RV steps and pulled her into his arms. She cupped his face in both hands.
Are you surprised?
I don't really understand what's going on.
Come inside and I'll show you.
Myrna took Brian's hand and directed him into the RV. Trey followed them, his curiosity getting the better of him. In one of the captain's chairs sat an unoccupied car seat. In another sat Aggie, with a loudly purring black tuxedo cat on her lap. She smiled and waved.
Aggie is starting up a traveling merchandise shop for her corsets, Myrna said,
selling them in a merch stand outside of concerts.
Embedding myself into Jace's life yet again, Aggie said. I can't seem to stop doing that.
He'll be ecstatic to have you on tour with us again,
Trey said.
Well, as ecstatic as Jace can be. Where's Malcolm?
Brian asked.
Jessica is changing his diaper in the nursery, Myrna said.
Jessica is here too?
Brian asked.
She's decided she wants to be Malcolm's nanny until she has a baby of her own.
Myrna smiled. In around 8.5 months, Brian's eyes widened.
Does Seth know?
She just found out yesterday. She wants to tell him in person, so keep that to yourself.
He's gonna flip. So all three of you are gonna follow us around on tour?
Brian asked, waving a hand in Aggie's direction.
Four of us. Don't forget your son.
Myrna, I'm not sure if this is a good idea, Brian said. Malcolm needs stability in his life. There is no stability in a life on the road. I don't want that for him.
Myrna shook her head at him. What Malcolm needs is his father, and I need my husband. This will be our home, Brian. Just because it moves doesn't mean it's not a stable environment for him. When we're parked, I can write. And I can sew, Aggie said. And Malcolm can play and grow up knowing his father, Myrna said.
What about when we tour Europe?
Brian asked. I've been looking into real estate in France. I already ordered my passport. We can follow you there, too.
And South America? Australia? Asia?
We'll figure out a way to be together as much as possible. If I didn't know better, I'd think you didn't want us here, Brian, Myrna said.
It just seems too good to be true. I think it's a perfect solution,
Trey said.
Myrna, you're brilliant.
Thank you, Trey. Myrna gave his arm a squeeze and really looked at him for the first time. She smiled. You look happy, sweetie. Did you just eat a cherry pie?
He's in love,
Brian said and rolled his eyes. Reagan? Myrna asked, her eyes and smile wide as she nodded enthusiastically.
And some guy named Ethan,
Brian added.
You can ask him for an interview for your book later.
He took Myrna's hand and directed her further into the RV. Trey followed. There were several rooms in the back. In addition to the small bathroom and the surprisingly large bedroom, with a huge king-sized bed that was sure to get broken in very soon, a small nursery was connected off to one side. With a crib and changing table, the room was a bit cramped, but not without charm. It had been decorated to look like a regular nursery, with primary colors, pictures of musical instruments, mobiles, and stuffed animals. Jessica was blowing raspberries on Malcolm's tummy, and he was kicking his feet gleefully. Jessica looked up when she noticed the group of spectators standing in the doorway. "There's your daddy," Jessica said, and lifted Malcolm from the table. She handed him to Brian, who got that wondrous look on his face that he sported every time he held his son.
"Your mother is a genius," Brian said to Malcolm. "The smartest thing I ever did was marry that woman."
Malcolm cooed in agreement. Someone stomped up the bus steps. Trey turned and caught the look of pure joy on Jace's face just before he hauled Aggie to her feet and into his arms.
"How long are you staying?"
"Forever." Trey had never seen Jace smile so broadly in all the years he'd known him. Jace kissed Aggie as if he never planned to stop. The man never said many words, but somehow he never needed to. Jace's cat, Brownie, rubbed up against their legs, meowing for attention. Aggie was worried that Jace would think she was being too clingy, Jessica whispered.
I think he's the one clinging at the moment,
Trey said. Seth appeared in the front stairwell. The RV was spacious, but there wasn't really room for seven adults, a baby, and a cat. Reagan and Ethan were behind Seth, and bringing up the rear were Eric and Rebecca. There definitely wasn't room for four more. Trey started to inch toward the front door. This arrangement would make Brian happy, which was good because Trey knew he wasn't the only one sick of Brian's constant moping.
"You all have to be on stage in 30 minutes,
Rebecca announced. She spotted Malcolm, and responsibility took the back seat.
"Oh, isn't he perfect?"
She was down the hall before Eric could stop her. When she got close to Malcolm's face and made a funny expression for him, the baby's eyes lit up, and he grabbed a fistful of Rebecca's crimson-red hair,
ignoring the more boring platinum blonde shades that made up the bulk of her hair color.
"I think it's time for us to find one of these, Eric," she said.
"When we get back from the world tour, we'll start looking into adopting,"
he promised, and placed a protective hand on the base of Rebecca's spine. Seth had Jessica in his arms.
"Wish we had more time to be alone together right now,"
he said.
"We'll have to save our next round of baby-making attempts until later tonight."
"That won't be necessary," Jessica said in a clipped tone. Trey stifled a laugh. The two of them drove each other nuts on purpose, and they both loved every minute of it. Sed's face fell.
"You haven't already changed your mind, have you?"
She scowled at him.
"I hope not. I happen to be pregnant."
She dropped her angry tone, grinning as she waited for his reaction. It took a moment for her words to register with Sed, because he was apparently expecting her to say something entirely different. When it finally sank in, his eyes lit up, and Trey was sure Sed's dimples would cause his face to implode.
"Do you mean it?"
he said.
"You're pregnant?"
She tilted her head back to smile up at him. "You, Cedric Lionheart, are going to be a father, and I couldn't be happier about it."
"Fucking awesome!"
Sed shouted and swung Jessica around in a circle. When he stopped twirling, Eric smacked him in the head.
"Watch your mouth around Malcolm."
Trey squeezed between Reagan and Ethan, wrapping his arms around both of them.
"I guess the band's all here now."
"One big happy family,"
Reagan murmured, kissing Trey's smiling lips. Ethan's lips brushed his temple. Ethan squeezed Trey and Reagan together, lifting them several inches off the floor in his powerful embrace. Sinners had always been a family, and it still was. Only now it was an extended family, with less beer and more love. This concludes Double Time. Please visit our website, www.tantor.com, for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers, or call toll-free 877-7-TANTOR to request a catalog.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.